In the medieval fantasy realm of the Seven Kingdoms, Maximilian Calypso stands before her father, the Duke of Creusot, trembling as she awaits her husband's return after 3 years of absence. Her stutter worsens under her father's cruel gaze as he strikes her with his cane, demanding she persuade Riften to maintain their marriage, a union hastily arranged solely to avoid joining a dragon hunting campaign. Now Riften returns, a celebrated hero who slayed that very dragon, and the Duke fears the shame of annulment. When Riften arrives, his sardonic comments about Maxie's fear give way to a startling announcement. She's coming with him to his estate. Despite her protests, he declares, "You are my wife. Why must I seek anyone's permission to take you with me?" Their departure marks the beginning of a journey that will transform both their lives in ways neither could imagine. In a dusty roadside inn, Riften confesses to Maxie that he rejected Princess Agnes's marriage proposal to honor his commitment to her, forcing Maxie to reconsider their arrangement. Despite her anxiety about intimacy, Riften shows remarkable patience, guiding her through pleasure she never knew possible, replacing her fear with newfound sensation. As they journey through monster-infested lands, Maxie observes Riften commanding his knights with natural authority, earning their unwavering loyalty as a trusted leader. During breaks, he reveals his softer side, carefully massaging her saddle-sore legs. Though she blushes at these public displays, his touch conveys genuine care rather than possession. What began as an arrangement of convenience gradually unveils deeper emotional currents, revealing the depth of Riften's feelings and the possibility of true love blossoming between them. They crest a windswept mountain to behold Anatole, a formidable village protected by towering stone walls. Above it looms Calypso, carved into the mountainside in the shape of an ancient golem. As they approach, cheers erupt. "Rosam Wigru to Calypso," hailing Riften as their mythical hero's living embodiment. The reception contrasts with memories of her father's fortress. Where Croy's castle had been a tomb of silence and fear, Anatole pulses with life. Children darting through market stalls, merchants calling greetings, and guards welcoming their lord. Their arrival at the castle shatters the mood when Riften finds his renovation orders ignored. Dust coats floors, tapestries hang in tatters, far from the welcoming home he'd planned for his bride. When exhaustion overwhelms Maxie, Riften carries her to their bedchamber, prepared with fresh linens and flowers. He grants her treasury access, authority over servants, and freedom to transform their home. Maxie accepts this responsibility while hiding that she was no cherished noble daughter, but a despised burden, untrained in household management. After sharing a bath, she falls asleep in his embrace, daring to imagine their arranged marriage might bloom into something real. Left alone after Riften returns to his duties, Maxie struggles to adapt as Lady of Calypso Castle. She explores the estate with Rodrigo, attempting to understand management despite her inexperience. Meeting with merchant guildhead Adderon about renovations leaves her overwhelmed, though she tries to hide it. She selects expensive furnishings, rose-colored curtains with gold tassels, a red carpet, and a tapestry of the legendary knight Wigru. Later, she's measured for new dresses promised by Riften, requesting a smaller headdress. When Riften must leave for the royal capital, Maxie overhears knights mentioning King Reuben's wish to match him with Princess Agnes. Feeling unworthy, she retreats to her room. Their final night reveals Riften's reluctance to leave. He expresses deep attraction to her vulnerable beauty with tender devotion that makes her feel truly cherished. After his departure, Maxie falls ill with fever. Once recovered, she throws herself into castle renovations, meeting daily with merchants and artisans, unaware of her financial missteps, determined to prove herself worthy as Lady Calypso. Late into each night, Maxie struggles with the ledger until Ruth, the castle's acerbic sorcerer, discovers her. He criticizes her bookkeeping and offers to help, instructing her to meet him at dawn. Together, they review her mistakes, confusing currencies and ordering inappropriate marble flooring and crystal fountains unsuitable for Anatol's climate and Knight's training. Ruth teaches her currency conversions and reveals Riften's wealth includes 160 rare Dant coins made of Aurichicum, explaining how he built the castle using just 40 of these precious coins. When Maxie suggests removing a dead oak tree, Ruth warns against it, explaining its cultural significance. A nymph who fell in love with Sir Rosam Wigru still waits for his return there. Understanding its importance, Maxie reconsiders. Ruth offers to revive the tree with mana, suggesting they announce her efforts to restore the sacred oak to earn the servant's respect. Beyond financial guidance, Ruth surprises Maxie by suggesting she study magic, noting her natural mana affinity combined with her knowledge of arithmetic and ancient language, the first time someone sees potential in her beyond being Riften's wife. The castle's peace shatters when 30 armed knights, led by Rob Madahas, a Livedonian nobleman, arrive unidentified. When Madahas insults Anatol as a den of cowards, Sir Oberon draws his sword, prompting Madahas to retaliate with a flame that destroys the gate. Ruth creates wind barriers while Sir Oberon fights, but Maxie falls during the chaos. Just as the situation turns dire, the Rendragon Knights charge down with Riften leading. His presence changes everything. The Livedonians pale as he calmly threatens war for their trespass. Despite Ruth warning about conflict with an entire kingdom, Riften forces Madahas to surrender. Finding Maxie endangered, he carries her back to the castle. In their chambers, his anger transforms to concern as he examines her for injuries, vowing vengeance for any harm done. When Maxie confesses she doesn't want him leaving again, Riften's fury dissolves into desire. After 3 weeks apart, they surrender to passionate lovemaking, still half-armored, their need overwhelming all else. As winter deepens, Riften returns to the castle by dusk to dine with Maxie. He reveals his disdain for nobility's extravagance while paradoxically lavishing Maxie with finery, seemingly to prove himself worthy of a duke's daughter. When Riften discovers her magical studies under Ruth, he angrily objects before tersely relenting with, "Do as you please." Later, when confronted about this, their conversation transforms into passionate intimacy as Maxie boldly touches him, discovering power in his vulnerability. Despite his apparent disapproval, Maxie remains determined to prove her worth. Following Ruth's advice, she practices healing magic on servants and knights, successfully treating burns and injuries. For the first time, she feels useful, challenging her father's lifelong assertion of her worthlessness. As spring approaches, Maxie balances castle management with developing magical abilities. Watching knights discuss upcoming monster raids, she envies their place by Riften's side, wondering if mastering powerful magic might convince him to take her along. Under the dying oak overlooking Kylip's castle, a new life takes root. A stuttering, abused young woman transforming into a powerful sorceress and confident lady. Her journey from trembling victim to a woman discovering her worth has only begun.